Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. It's the 8th day of August 2025, and Joe Barner's in with me. And Joe, Saturday and Sunday is just around the corner.
Just around the corner. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
You know, I know we say it about every Friday, but what happened to this week? It's like went zoom.
It went zoom.
And it's gone. So anyway.
Well, I want to let you know that even though today is sneak some zucchini into your neighbor's porch day,
I noticed that.
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it?
We do have some extra produce from time to time with zucchini and squash. You can plant just a few plants.
I know.
And if everything goes well, you just have an overabundance, and then you start looking for people
that want zucchini
that will take some.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to like zucchini and squash.
Now, how do you like it?
But too much is too much.
How do you like it?
I like it sliced and then steamed.
Uh-huh.
I like it baked.
Okay. You like it sautéed?
I'm not sure I've had it sautéed.
You know, seasoned and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You put seasoning on it and you sauté it up. Now, that's the way I like it. It really tastes good. You need to try it sometime.
It's a little seasoning, salt.
Yeah.
And some Parmesan cheese is good on it.
That sounds good. Sounds good.
If someone sneaks some onto your porch now, we're giving you some tips on how.
That's right.
Don't go looking for me. I didn't do it.
Joe didn't do it.
It's tempting.
All right.
It's also International Cat Day.
Yeah. Did you hear me mention you this morning? Was you listening?
No, I didn't. I wasn't.
I mentioned that this morning. I said, I know Joe likes his little kitty Biscuit, you know.
Well, she thinks every day is her day.
And I said, we love ours too, Molly Kate. So, I mean, you know, we just, she's really, I guess she's a little over a year old.
Yeah.
And ours is, now she's getting to a point where she's kind of warming up to us more.
Uh-huh.
And she likes to be petted, you know, and stuff. There for a while, she didn't really care much for the petting stuff, but now she's kind of enjoying it more. So,
well, Biscuit enjoys it in the middle of the night. She'll flop right in front of me, want me to rub her.
Say, Daddy, rub me. they're fun to have. They are, really are.
And Rachel was wanting her to get in her lap last night, and guess whose lap she came and got in?
Got in yours.
Got in mine.
Now Kylie likes to, because it's Kylie's cat, really, because we got it for her, but. She every now and then she said, "What's the best thing you like about Molly?" I said that she goes to the litter box and I don't have to take her outside. That's what I like the most.
Well, we thought we would probably get another little dog.
Yeah.
And then the Lord brought this cat into our lives.
Oh yeah.
And I found that it's easier to clean out a cat litter.
Yeah, I don't have to go out in the cold and hot and do all that. Yep. Makes it easier, I think. So
it's also a National Pickleball Day, which is kind of a
pickleball.
Kind of a cross in between tennis on a smaller court.
Okay.
And that's kind of a big thing these days is pickleball.
Now is it a smaller ball too? Or do you know?
I really don't know. I haven't.
I'm not for sure neither.
I've meant to participate a little bit to learn more about it and haven't yet. We'll tell you after the break.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look it up and see what size that ball is. I mean, I couldn't remember if it was small or big, but anyway. Well, Joe, where are we going at today?
Well, we're
going
to talk about getting forgiveness. If you've snuck some zucchini onto your neighbor's porch, you may need to seek forgiveness this morning.
There you go.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We often don't see the good news. A farmer went to his banker and announced that he had bad news and good news. First, the bad news. "Well," said the farmer, "I can't make my mortgage payments. And that crop loan I've taken out for the last 10 years, I can't pay that off either. Not only that, I won't be able to pay you the couple of thousand that I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you for whatever you can salvage out of it. What's the good news?" "The good news is that I'm going to keep on banking with you," said the farmer. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
24/7 missionary radio. And welcome back.
We return this morning to our topic from last week, finding or seeking forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Last week we were in Psalms 38 and also Psalm 51, mm-hmm. where David the writer told of his reluctance to face up to his sin and confess it to the Lord and turn from it in repentance. And finally, for whatever reason, he decided it's too much. It's too mm-hmm. hard.
Yeah.
Too hard to live in unforgiveness. So today's Psalm, Psalm 32, many believe is the fulfillment of David's pledge in Psalm 51:13. After he had received the Lord's forgiveness and restoration, he wrote, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." Now the heading over Psalm 32 tells us its writer, which is, Brian?
David.
And in some Bibles, it's labeled a maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L. In other words, that's a teaching psalm, mm-hmm. a psalm where we can learn from reading what David learned the hard way by experience.
Okay.
So having been forgiven of great sin, David exclaims his joy at being forgiven in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2.
"Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit."
So blessed is the one whose sin is forgiven, or as some may render that phrase, oh, the great joy of someone who was guilty of sin, mm-hmm. but because of God's grace is once again clean before mm-hmm. the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a joyful, that's a blessed state.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, how do we get to that blessed, joyful state? Well, we start with dealing with our sin in the proper way. Mm-hmm. And we are all there at one point or another having to deal with our sin. Mm-hmm. Someone on crosswalk.com listed the worst ways to deal with sin.
Okay.
Number one is excuse it. Now, we'll talk about that for a second. Don't mm-hmm. we love to make excuses?
Oh, yeah.
Even the age-old, well, everybody's doing it.
Well, yeah, I've even said that before. Well, everybody's doing it.
Or it's just a weakness of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even old Flip Wilson's, "The devil made me do it."
Oh, yeah. Devil made me do it.
Well, even Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden tried mm-hmm. to excuse their sin.
Yeah.
And they also tried failed strategy number two, to deflect it, mm-hmm. to blame someone else. Mm-hmm. Who did Adam blame?
Blamed Eve, didn't he?
He blamed Eve. Said, "Well, mm-hmm. I was just eating what she said was tasty." Yeah, that makes things go well in our house when she gives me some zucchini.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
He also kind of blamed God because he said, "The woman that you gave me, mm-hmm. if you hadn't given me, I wouldn't be in this mess right now."
Yeah, but I always say this, he did not have to eat it.
He didn't have to eat it.
He didn't have to. I think it was all part of the plan. That's it, just all part of the plan.
So he ate what was set before him, and then Eve, who did she blame?
She blamed Adam.
No, she blamed the serpent.
She blamed serpent.
The serpent,
yeah. The serpent
deceived me.
Yeah, deceived me, yeah.
And the serpent, as the old joke goes, didn't have a leg to stand on.
He did not have a leg to stand on. That's right.
Failed strategy number three in dealing with sin is to conceal it. Now, think about Adam and Eve, how they tried to conceal their sin. They first hid from God.
Yes.
And God came expecting fellowship. Well, he knew.
Well, sure he knew.
But he came and he said, "Adam, where are you?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm hiding."
Yep.
"Because I was naked."
Yeah.
And they also tried to cover themselves with fig leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So none of those three ways work in dealing with sin. Excuse it, deflect it, blame someone else,
yep,
or conceal it. Greg Laurie recommends a better way to get rid of our sin. He said there is only one way to get rid of our sin, and it's at the cross of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We can't cover it, we can't hide it, and we can't run from it. It will stay with us until we confess it.
Yeah.
Only when we uncover our sin before the Lord and face up to it, that's confession, can we experience the Lord covering our sin. For Adam and Eve, it was the sacrifice of a lamb to cover their sin. Mm-hmm. And the Lord clothed them in lambskins.
Yes.
And for us, we are covered in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. Pastor James Merritt writes that the word forgiven there in Psalm 32 literally means to carry away. It means to lay the blame on someone else, only not like Adam and Eve did. Mm-hmm. He said, have you ever heard the term scapegoat?
I've heard the word, yeah.
He is one who takes the fall for someone else's misdeeds or sin. In David's time, once a year, the high priest would take a goat and lay his hands on the head of the goat, and he would confess it over that goat all the transgressions of the people. Mm-hmm. And then he would send the goat out in the wilderness, never to be seen again. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what God does with our transgressions. He carries them away, and he lays the blame on Jesus. So when God allowed his son to be crucified on the cross, he made him our scapegoat. Mm-hmm. Jesus took all of our iniquities, and he carried them away. So in these two verses, Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, note that in the Christian Standard Bible, the version used in the Lifeways literature, there are four terms used to describe sin. First, we come across is transgression. A transgression is a deliberate act of rebellion. Mm-hmm. To some extent, one may know how God wants us to behave, but we just don't want to play by his rules. So sometimes we transgress. We push the limits.
Mm-hmm.
Another word is used for wrongdoing is just plain old sin.
Yep.
It means a failure to meet God's standard. It's like an archer missing the mark. Or if you like to shoot with firearms, sin is like missing the target that God sets up for us. Iniquity is another word that we come across, and that suggests crookedness and distortion. And finally, we read in verse 2 that the one is blessed who has been forgiven, in whose spirit is no deceit. Deceit involves deception, betrayal, treachery. But when we own up to our sin, we leave behind that attempt to cover our tracks, and we no longer deceive ourselves or attempt to deceive others. So we can rejoice that when we confess our sins to the Lord, he forgives our transgression and covers our sin. So we are at peace with God once more. Boy, that's a great place to be.
Great place.
So we leave behind deceit or deception, and the other phrase we highlight is that the Lord no longer charges us with iniquity. By the Lord's declaration, he no longer charges us with that iniquity. Our sin debt has been paid in full by the grace of the Lord.
Amen.
It no longer counts against us. An old song popped into my mind, Brian. You might want to sing it. It was sung by the Cathedrals. And when I did a search on the lyrics, I found that it had also been sung by the Statler Brothers and even by Johnny Cash.
Okay.
So this song goes back a ways, but it goes like this. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top, and many things below I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. Long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Okay.
And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Now, you recognize the chorus.
I recognize the chorus, yeah.
Brian likes the Cathedrals like I do.
Oh, I love the Cathedrals.
But the second verse goes like this. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning, never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago. So when in the happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book, now with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago. And finally, a word to all of us. O sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus He hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago. Long ago, long ago, yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. As Charles Spurgeon put it in the mid-1800s, the lesson is this: be honest. Sinner, may God make you honest. Do not deceive yourself. Make a clean breast of it before the Lord. Settle accounts with the Lord today.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your years of great music and programs. From Pembroke, thank you for your service to our Lord. God is so good. Also from Clarksville, I love all the radio station is doing. It blesses me daily. And from Hopkinsville, a great station.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our Testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
We're in Psalm 32 this morning. In Psalm 32, we're reminded that although there is nothing like the joy we experience when we're walking in close fellowship with God after being forgiven, mm-hmm. when the old account is settled,
long ago,
there's nothing like the misery we bring on ourselves when we live unrepentantly in sin. The now forgiven David remembered his spiritual, mental, and physical state when he kept his sin hidden and was silent before finally confessing it to the Lord. It took a toll on him by his own admission in Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5.
"When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was turned into drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah."
David and other stubborn sinners miss out on the joy of forgiveness and close fellowship with God, the joy of walking with the Lord. Now, do you ever wonder why David was silent before the Lord about his sin? Why suffer with guilt when relief is just a prayer of confession away?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's speculate on some possible reasons. The first one that comes to mind is one that we might be familiar with. He was too proud to admit that he had sinned.
Okay.
Yep. Were we ever that way?
No, never. No, yes. Yes.
Stubbornness. Stubbornness can sometimes last a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Just ask our wives.
Easy.
It's hard to break that pattern. And maybe he was trying to find other ways to quiet his conscience. You know, time after time of saying no to God's voice to us through our conscience can make us insensitive to that inner voice. Some people may turn to alcohol, drugs, or other pursuits mm-hmm. to drown out the voice of God to our spirits. How well does that work? just adds more problems.
More problems, yeah.
Or maybe David enjoyed his sin too much to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't say this in a Bible study or over missionary radio, but sin can be pleasurable for a season.
That's what it says.
Until the bills come due.
You got that right.
So for whatever reason, David remained silent about his sin. His sin and his guilt ate away at his vitality and joy. In verse 3, how did he describe the physical effects of being stubborn and slow to confess his sin?
His bones grew old.
They grew old. They wasted away or became brittle.
Yep.
And he groaned all day long.
I tell you what. I know how it is when we get older, Joe. We start groaning a little bit when we get up in the morning. So I understand getting those old bones.
I remember my dad, I guess probably finally in his 80s, he admitted, well, I can't do all I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've been telling Rachel that since my 50s. But in verse 4, it felt to him like God's hand of conviction was weighing down on him constantly, so that his strength was sapped, like ours was during that extreme heat we experienced recently. You just go out and you just kind of melt.
Man.
I like what Charles Spurgeon said, God's hand is very helpful when it uplifts.
Amen.
But it is awful when it presses down.
Mm-hmm.
Better a world on the shoulder, like Atlas, referring to that character in Greek mythology, than God's hand on the heart, like David. David felt like God's hand was just pushing down on him. If we had watched David, we would probably have noticed a loss of appetite as well. And that look of exhaustion that comes with sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
Another writer noted that David's failure to confess his sins led to a debilitating and draining weakness.
Mm-hmm.
He was emotionally distraught. He spoke of his groaning all day long.
Mm-hmm.
His soul was aching. He was racked with pain, guilt, agonizing, depressed, and downcast. And his zest for life was slowly being drained away. I think David would have most likely crashed if he had persisted stubbornly in his unconfessed state. In some versions, verse 4, also verse 5, as well as verse 7, end with an interesting word, Selah.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. J. Vernon McGee in the Through the Bible commentary suggests that the word Selah means to stop, look, and listen.
Okay.
It's what we do when we go to a railroad track.
That's it.
But it means to think over what has been said.
Mm-hmm.
Selah is a musical term. It's a musical rest, a time of silence so you could think over what had been sung. So it's like David is saying to us at the end of verse 4, does that description of misery fit you as well?
Mm.
Are you being stubborn to confess your sin like I was? David is asking. Are you feeling some of the physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional effects that I did when keeping silent about my sin? Then do what I did in verse 5. What does David say he did?
Confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Said, I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than denying his sin or trying to justify what he had done, David acknowledged his sin to God. He confessed it to God with true remorse. Now, David was not like the man who wrote a letter to the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, said, I haven't been able to sleep because last year when I filled out my income tax report, I deliberately misrepresented my income. I'm enclosing a check for $150, and if I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest.
That's pretty good.
I think that gentleman would have been audited.
I'm sure.
Well, confession means to uncover our sin before the Lord, to bring it out into the open and to see our sin for what it is. David needed God to do more than just make him feel better about himself. Mm-hmm. He needed the Lord to do as he does for us. Mm-hmm. He needed to experience God's forgiveness. He needed to be where he could stand before God with a clean slate, with that sin not hanging over him longer. And we need to experience God's mercy and compassion as well.
Yes.
To have those sins removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And that's what Psalm 103 promises, verses 11 and 12, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." Wonderful that God removes our sin.
Amen.
And what's the key? Own up to it.
Yeah,
confess
own up to it.
To him.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask for his forgiveness.
Yes.
Well, we'll continue looking at Psalm 32 after Johnny Erickson Tada sharing hope here on Missionary Radio.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada sharing hope here on Missionary Radio. You know, I saw you the other day at your art easel.
Well, there was a time, Shauna, when I invested every weekend at my easel painting and sketching. I did it for enjoyment, but I also pushed myself to improve. I hired an art teacher. I learned about composition, experimented with study after study, tweaking this technique and that. I flipped through art books to gain more insight from the masters, and I meandered through local art shows to glean from contemporary painters. I wanted to excel as much as possible with a brush or colored pencil between my teeth. But as my schedule picked up with ministry responsibilities, my time at the easel became, more infrequent. And then, when chronic pain became a daily companion, only a rare day would see me wheeling up to my art easel. I just wasn't able to crane my neck this way and that in order to daub paint where it needed to go. Over time, my art studio has transitioned from a place to creating to a place of encouraging others, and I'm okay with that. When adults tour my studio, I like to teach them short art lessons. I love handing out crayons to the boys and girls who visit. But at a recent family retreat, I offered the same kind of encouragement when I wheeled into a painting class for special needs moms. I was there to cheer on the women, and I loved thinking of how these mothers were getting a fun break from their usual caregiver routines. Once or twice while I was in there, I was thinking about, gee, wouldn't it be good if I could sit in front of my own canvas? Well, my friend Catherine, who was with me that day, noticed in my eyes how I kept glancing at a stack of blank canvases resting beside little containers of paint, and she suddenly said, "Johnny, I think you should join these women and paint something." She caught me off guard. "That's a great idea," I said, "but there's no way I can reach those little table easels." "Oh," Catherine said, "I can solve that." And in no time, she stuck a brush in my mouth, and she became my easel. She stood in front of me with her legs braced, and she firmly held a blank canvas, steady enough and close enough so that I could paint. Every couple of minutes or so, Catherine would sanitize more brushes with alcohol wipes, put them in my mouth, and then reach for different paints per my instructions. And I was experiencing the sheer joy I used to feel when I was in my art studio. And I felt unbelievably blessed by her practical way of loving me, as well as her self-sacrifice. I mean, her arms had to be hurting. It was the best of true encouragement. And man, did I have fun. Oh, one more thing. When I left that painting class, I turned to my friend Catherine and I said, "Catherine, you know how it says in Luke 6, give and it'll be given to you. Well, today you gave me the best gift possible. You gave yourself as my easel. So here," I said, giving her the painting, "it's yours." Well, she was stunned and we both happily named the work of art Catherine's Clouds.
Oh, Johnny, that is such a great story.
Yes.
And friend, if you want to see Johnny's painting up close, just visit johnnyradio.org and take a look for yourself. You'll be inspired also by the video we film of how Johnny painted the big billowy clouds above the meadow. We've posted the video for you at johnnyradio.org.
At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know Him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next Carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because He's worth it.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
And of course, like I said, the front porch. And one thing I'd like to remind people, Joe, real quick, I know we hadn't really mentioned it this morning, but a podcast of the front porch is available on our website, missionary.radio, Joe, and just click on it and rocking chair pops up. And after the rocking chair, you'll have some past programs of the front porch to show
all
up.
The way back into March, as I recall.
Yeah. So you can go back and
listen at them at your convenience.
That's it.
Well, we're in Psalm 32 this morning, Psalm of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We find how blessed David was, how blessed he felt to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And he also talked about resisting, confessing,
mm-hmm.
and how miserable that was. Well, in verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 32, because God readily and eagerly forgives the guilt of our sin that we confess to Him, look at the benefits we gain when we get right with the Lord.
For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood or great waters. They shall not come near Him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know I said Selah a little while ago, but Selah.
So the benefit we gain along with forgiveness in these verses is God's protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the word immediately that is in some versions of at the end of verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
In the New King James that you read, it said,
they shall not come near Him.
In a time when you, when referring to God, may be found.
Mm-hmm.
We are to confess sin quickly, as soon as God's Spirit reveals it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Before we face the flood and the rising waters of consequences for persisting in not mm-hmm. confessing, may we learn to confess immediately, quickly.
And I believe, Joe, as a believer, right off the bat, we'll know before we ever do a sin that we will know that we should not do it.
Yeah.
As a believer, you know, I mean, right off the bat, I know when I'm getting ready to do something I shouldn't do, the Lord tells me right off the bat, don't do it. You know, don't do that. You know.
Yeah.
Now, if we continue to, and we go ahead and just go ahead and do it, we've sinned. So we got to ask forgiveness for it.
So ask forgiveness immediately. Ask quickly.
Yes.
And when we face danger, we're to pray immediately. The Lord is to be the first one that we call to for help, not our last option.
No.
And we will find Him to be our hiding place, the one who protects and preserves us, the one who surrounds us with songs of deliverance. We can sing a song of how God brought me through, how He protected, how He delivered me.
Amen.
And so David went from the depths of despair to the height of praise. Once again, Charles Spurgeon has a good word for us. He said, observe that the same man who in the fourth verse was oppressed by the presence of God, here he finds a shelter in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what honest confession and full forgiveness will do.
That's right.
David reminds us in verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 32 that the forgiven and restored person also may enjoy the teaching and guidance of the Lord.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you.
Now, these verses assure us that the Lord not only watches over us, but he wants to give us counsel.
Yes.
He desires to instruct, teach, and guide us in the way that we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's our choice. Will we follow him, or will we be like the horse or a stubborn mule,
mm-hmm.
being controlled by a bit or bridle?
Yeah.
Especially mules have a reputation for being stubborn.
Oh, yes.
Although mule lovers might beg to differ.
Mm-hmm.
But while it might take a bit or bridle to guide them, just a glance from the Lord should be enough to keep an obedient and cooperative Christian on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Someone quipped that David was like a wild horse.
Yeah.
That rushed into sin, but when it came to confessing his sin, he held back like a stubborn mule. Now, David the teacher would be urging us to learn from his pain.
Yeah.
And not, as a dear country lady years ago said, to pay for our own learning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
May we learn from David's, what he learned.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in verses 10 and 11 of the psalm, Psalm 32, it reminds us of the blessedness and joy of walking with the Lord without the separation caused by unconfessed sin.
Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Again, blessed is the man.
Mm-hmm.
Whose sins, or woman, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 32, a great psalm of forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think while we're looking at forgiveness, thinking about forgiveness, there's a very practical application of David's teaching on asking for forgiveness from the Lord and from others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our responsibility as forgiven people.
Yeah.
To extend that forgiveness to others.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander,
mm-hmm.
along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ mm-hmm. God forgave you. We can draw from the well of forgiveness.
Amen.
To forgive others. David Jeremiah offers this commentary, the act of someone pardoning us for our wrongdoings is something we want more of for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but are oftentimes unwilling to give to others.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is something everyone struggles with, and there are many reasons why people choose not to forgive. Pride,
yeah.
hurt, anger, and the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
God does not tell us to forgive while ignoring these feelings, but he calls us to forgive despite what we might be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So when we forgive, we're not excusing someone's behavior. We're simply choosing to let go of our negative feelings toward them and to love them again. It's what Christ did for us.
Amen.
So let us extend generosity and mercy to others and forgive them. Just as Christ did for us. Read recently from Chuck Swindoll of that feeling of relief that we experience when we are forgiven by the Lord. He wrote, years ago, my sister Lucy asked me a question that I'd never been asked before. What is your favorite feeling? Ever thought about that, Brian?
Never thought about that.
Well, Chuck Swindoll's answer was, well, I believe my favorite feeling is the feeling of accomplishment.
Well.
Sounds like a driven person's answer, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Said, I like the feeling of getting something done. Finished is one of my favorite words.
Yeah.
Brian was showing me a piece of furniture that he had restored.
I finished, yeah.
And that you had finished.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked Lucy, that's Chuck Swindoll's sister now with the Lord, she said, well, my favorite feeling is relief.
Mm.
I thought, well, that's a great answer. In fact, better than mine.
Yeah.
When I checked Webster's later, I found that the feeling of relief means the removal or lightening of something oppressive, painful, or distressing. When we are in physical pain, relief means that the pain subsides.
Yeah.
When we are emotionally distraught, relief calms us and gives us a sense of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that fits with our study on forgiveness. When guilt assaults us in transgression and we seek God's forgiveness, the guilt that ate like a cancer inside us goes away as God brings relief.
Mm-hmm.
When a relationship is strained, perhaps with someone we were once close to, when does relief come? Well, not until we have worked through the painful process of making things right with that person. And when we are burdened by heavy financial debt, getting that debt paid off brings that sweet release of relief.
Oh, yeah.
We know that the sovereign Most High God is ruler over our lives, so it's obvious that if we ever have the feeling of relief, God has given it to us.
Amen.
He's the one who grants us the peace, the satisfaction, the ease. In fact, Chuck Swindoll continues, I think relief is a powerful synonym for mercy. Mercy is God's active compassion, which he demonstrates to the miserable. When we're in a time of deep distress and God activates his compassion to bring about relief, we've experienced mercy. It isn't passive pity, isn't simply understanding, isn't mere sorrow. It is a divine action on our behalf through which he brings about that sense of relief. God, our compassionate and caring Heavenly Father, is the author of relief. And when it comes to those mysterious, confusing times when doing his will results in the unexpected, there's nothing like mercy to make it bearable. The relief that comes...
Amen.
When we are forgiven, we think, why did I wait so long to bring it to the Lord?
That's right.
So let's close with this prayer that I found in the Holman commentary. Lord God, how often we fall short of your will. We beg you to be merciful to us, forgiving our transgressions and covering our sins. Help us not to be stubborn in refusing to confess our sins, which we attempt to cover and hide from you. Teach us in the way we should go so that we will know the joy of confessed and pardoned sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness.
Amen. And thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And make sure to join us all next week for The Front Porch. Have a blessed day.